My name's Justin Sexton. I'm the State Beef Extension Specialist for Nutrition in Missouri.
We're out here on the Beef Research and Teaching Farm just south of Columbia. You've been telling people about how more usable you can make forage. Very important in a year like this. First, let's talk about what challenges are we facing in a year like this that's been so dry that it's hard to come up with any forage?
Well, the biggest challenge that most are facing is just amount of forage to get them through the winter. And I've had many producers say, I don't know how much forage it takes to carry a cow 9 months. And so we're looking at methods to minimize waste, improve digestibility, and just get more out of the forages we do have.
Okay, how do we do that? Let's start on the first station that you had producers there. You were doing some interesting things with Corn Stover. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we tried. We demonstrated how we would process Corn Stover and use calcium hydroxide to improve the digestibility of that forage. We started out by processing that at somewhere between 5 and 3 inches in chop length with a processor. Then we added 50% water by weight, and then added 6.6% calcium hydroxide. And by treating that system and allowing it to set for 5 to 21 days, that allows us to improve digestibility somewhere between 8 and 15%. So we're not adding any protein to the system, but we are improving the energy value of that forage.
What is calcium hydroxide?
A quicklime. It's a calcium source. Many people would more commonly know it as maybe something they would use to mark ball diamonds with or put on barn floors. It's a calcium source. This is a feed-grade calcium source, and so historically, they've mixed it with wet distiller's grains, the finished feed, and that helps balance the phosphorus supply that comes from the wet distiller's grains.
What does it do to the viability of Stover as a feed then?
Does a couple of things. One, just by improving the digestibility, we get more out of the same feed. And so when we feed the corn stalks, it hydrates and breaks the lignin and hemicellulose bond, allowing the cow to get more out of it. It also improves palatability, as we demonstrated. After it sets for 21 days, those stalks got a lot softer, and so the cows are less likely to sort through them.
Maybe something that feeders don't think about very often is that the choice of hay feeders, the choice of hay containers. You have experiments going on here as to which are the best, and you've not determined that yet?
No, there's good data out of Michigan State from a couple of years ago where they looked at different models of hay feeders, and we're trying to expand on that to look at some other newer models that have come online since, and using some things that producers have mentioned to us in that they can't utilize ones that require them to lift them up very high. And so how can we look at a feeder that has a similar design but allows us to get around some of the practical applications of not being able to lift the bale high enough or not wanting to move the feeder. So we're looking at a cone-shaped feeder that has a skirting on the bottom and a skirting on the top. We're looking at a feeder with just skirt on the top and skirt on the bottom without the cone. We're using a standard feeder that has no skirting at all. We're using a short feeder that cows are actually leaning over to eat out of. And the last one's actually an inverted cone that has skirting on the bottom, but it's one that we can throw over top of the bale and not have to lift the bale up to get the cows access to it.
And the whole point here is preventing waste.
Right, and that if we look at a year where, you know, hay's anywhere from $90 to $100 a ton, the idea that we would accept 30% waste is essentially we are wasting what we used to pay for hay in a non-drought year.
Mm-hmm. Not all forages are safe to feed. There is the possibility of too many nitrates in them. Tell me what you've done to alleviate that.
Not much we can do in terms of alleviating nitrates. What we tried to do tonight was just remind everybody that we're not turning those cows out on stalks without taking a nitrate test. Our corn silage, we're going to test all the way through feeding. And if we're feeding corn stalks or Corn Stover, we're going to test that for nitrates as well. This year, between nitrates and aflatoxin, significant challenges if we don't test.
Very interesting work that you're doing on ammoniation of hay. Tell me about that and what's the point?
Yeah, ammoniation of hay is actually a fairly old technology, something that was done back when anhydrous ammonia was relatively inexpensive. That the price of that product has increased and feed has gotten a little cheaper. And so now when our main feedstuffs associated with corn and soybean production have gotten more expensive, ammoniation now looks as a good alternative. It allows us to double the protein content of a poor quality forage while increasing the energy content by 15% in a cost-effective manner, also in a manner where the producer can handle it in bale form. They can't take 24-ton loads, semi-loads of corn gluten feed or distiller's grains. And this is something that they can take advantage of, storing their hay under cover, minimizing waste, while improving its utilization.
Now, in the bagging of forages and putting them in tube storage, tell me about the economical viability of that.
Probably the biggest reason that there's two reasons that we like to wrap hay or wrap it in sile it in a wrap, is we get storage effectively at the cost of wrap, so we minimize the amount of hay that we waste. The other reason is we actually improve field efficiency. We can bale that hay when it's wetter. Therefore, we get less leaf loss, and hopefully we improve the quality by making it a better quality forage.